broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for January 22nd, the year of our Lord, 2020. Hour 2 of 2. Promoting God, family, and country, protecting life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. Always on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Man, we got so much to talk about. It's just shocking on your radio. We had our buddy Matt Shea on the radio with us, and we talked about his situation. He's a Washington State rep, a well-known Republican. He's an attorney. He's a former vet. Well, I should say he's a vet. He's formerly served in the military. The guy's a family man with an immigrant wife, wonderful children. I commend Matt Shea. But now, Kurt, he's just doing too much right. He's right over the target, and boy, is he catching flack, buddy.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam, on this Dateline Olympia, Washington. And KOMO and their news staff, along with the Associated Press, so this means it's, you know, getting picked up and passed around, etc. They're talking about this, and the headline reads, state lawmaker decries finding of investigation labeling him a domestic terrorist. He was speaking to about 500 people gathered for an annual gun rights rally, said the findings and allegations are false, and slammed the investigation as a Marxist smear campaign. The House Republicans there suspended him from their caucus after the report's release and removed him from his committee assignments. He's dismissed repeated calls for his resignation, says he plans to run for re-election this year. It almost sounds like, you know, kind of a, I guess you could say a mini President Trump kind of thing where they're going after him, you know, et cetera. But they say he was, you know, part of the whole Bunkerville, Nevada thing and all these different things. But as far as I can tell, is the bottom line is, I guess he wrote the biblical basis for war, they say. In other words, he's saying, hey, these are the only times when you do that. I guess one of his documents was discovered called titled The Biblical Basis for War. He said it was notes on a Bible study. Critics argued otherwise, saying that it was a manifesto. The document states,
see, and this is the problem, Kurt, when you take this stuff so far out of context, they're just trying to find a problem. And I'll give you a comparison. You know, it all depends on how you look at things. I would say it was a Bible study. I personally know Matt Shea. I've eaten dinner with the guy. I've been in private meetings with the guy. He sits on boards for some of my events and some of my involvement for Liberty. Okay, I know Matt Shea. I'm not telling you I'm his best friend. I'm just telling that I know him reasonably well. And I'm telling you, it isn't true. It's a Bible study, okay? But here's how it is, Kurt. Let's say that I went to Charlottesville. Would I be the white supremacist or the Antifa guy?
You'd be the white supremacist.
Okay, I'd be the extreme guy that, okay, and so then Donald would say there's good guys on both sides. You know, there's guys that are liberal and or conservative or whatever terms you want to use. I don't like the labels, it's a problem, but nevertheless, you know, and Donald says there's good guys there. And then what they want to do is just beat up Donald. Everybody's either they're a good guy, or they're a white supremacist. There's only two groups. See, they wipe out the Antifa discussion. They wipe out the point that there's good and bad on both sides, and they just ignore it. And that, in my mind, is kind of what they're doing to Matt Shea. Washington Rep. Matt Shea decries finding an investigation, labeling him a domestic terrorist. Back at the Capitol, Matt Shea is defiant about the sanctions and the allegations. Last I talked to Matt, he said that their narrative is disintegrating, though, Kurt, because it's just not holding up to scrutiny.
Well, and he's pretty active about defending himself. I guess he's been himself. I guess he's been on the public radio up there and what they call the Northwest News Network. You know, basically trying to say, "Hey, this isn't right," and you know, standing up for himself, and that's what you've got to do. I guess good luck to Matt Shea.
Yeah, they make a lot of claims, too, saying, hey, he helped foment some terrorist acts in America. He helped create the takeover of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. But, Kurt, as far as I understand, there wasn't any terrorism there. Okay, they say that he helped Ammon Bundy. Ammon Bundy says, Matt Shea didn't help me. He wasn't even involved. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what do you believe, the narrative or your lying eyes or whatever? I was at the event, not the takeover. I was leaving when the takeover happened. I didn't agree with it, but I was there at the rally before that. Matt Shea wasn't even anywhere near there, Kurt. He wasn't there. Don't worry, though. They found a piece of paper that showed he talked to the people, Kurt. See, this is the narrative we're dealing with. Our pressure with Matt and crew. All right, any more on that one, Kurt?
I don't think so.
All right, then you want to tell us about a Google whistleblower, don't you?
Well, Sam, I don't know if you know about this story, and I only put the headline there just to bring it up, but the headline reads, Google whistleblower suggests his wife's fatal car crash may not have been accidental. Says he was warned of an accident, you know, that's in quotes, months before. Do you think, you know, big business, you know, like Google would stoop to
Kurt, don't go Epstein on me. Come on now.
Anyway.
See, isn't that how they'll do it, Kurt? Sure. You can't be a birther. Well, don't go Epstein on me now. Don't act like it's a conspiracy or anything. We've already told you what happened, Kurt. It was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't believe it. I think that, yes, I do. I believe the whistleblower on Google and is suffering, and I don't know who, though, would be getting back at this whistleblower. I don't know if it would be Google or big business or if it would be government, Kurt. Remember, 90% of the big business spawned today is funded, backed, and controlled by government, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially Google. And I don't know if it would be Google that would be doing this or it would be the government that would be retaliating. I don't know. But again, are we going to look into this story, Kurt? Why do we got to go to Paul Joseph Watson overseas to get a write-up on this, to get a handle on it, to ask the fair questions?
Yeah,
I mean, I commend Paul Joseph Watson. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying, look, Paul Joseph Watson lives like in England or something, doesn't he?
I think so. And, you know, looking a little bit more detail on it, I guess this Google critic, 66 years old, he's the guy who testified that the tech giant, that's Google, their 2016 election meddling gave 2.6 million more votes to Hillary Clinton. And he's the one who suggests his wife's fatal car crash was not an accident. Guy's name is Epstein, interestingly enough, Sam. Robert Epstein.
Don't go Epstein on me now, Kurt.
And he said in July the internet giant's methods gave millions of votes to Hillary Clinton during the 2016 presidential election. That sounds like vote fraud. In December, he announced that his wife, Misty Dawn Vaughn, died in a crash. On Sunday, he tweeted that her death makes you wonder. After his briefings on January 4th, he tweeted, "I'm still not suicidal." Hear that, Google? Hillary?
Yeah, good point. You got to say that these days, sad to say.
Yeah, kind of like you say, you know, when people might suggest that if you ever showed up dead or whatever, saying, no, I wasn't suicidal. You know.
If they tell you that I committed suicide, I'm telling you right now, you know they're lying, baby.
Yeah, and the piece from the Daily Mail says he had earlier dismissed the idea that Google or Hillary had anything to do with Misty's death, but seems to have changed his mind in recent days. Epstein is a psychology professor and criticized Google's operations and ethics. Testified that Google's algorithm gave 2.6 million votes to Hillary Clinton.
And isn't it interesting? They claim Hillary won the popular vote by 3 million votes. You take out some of the vote fraud that we know are scandals. Certain states have already had to take voters off the rolls. And then you put that in the mix, Kurt. And you know what? Donald claims turn out to be absolutely true.
Well, that's a good point. And I guess he's 66 and his wife that was 29. She was, you know, she died after her truck spun out of control along a road in California and into the path of a tractor trailer. Tough stuff, huh, Sam?
Well, and why is it that the whistleblowers always have weird things happen to them that we say there's no connection? I mean, after a while, there's so many of these, you go, there's got to be a connection, Kurt.
And this maybe in every case, there's not. Epstein?
Yeah, know? It's just weird stuff. I mean, I agree. And that's the anomalies I like to point out, Kurt, that you're bringing up right now. Is like, how is this guy's name really Epstein? Is that really just a random coincidence? It's possible, but it sure makes you go, doesn't it? All right, well, don't worry. Just type into Google. No, I'm just kidding. All right, there's a lawyer in the news. And he says that prosecutors intentionally scuttled the Bundy case, the Associated Press, with this one, Kurt.
Now, what, you know, I think is interesting about this, Sam, is we could find it because, you know, we search for things like this. But do you think that the same places that put, like, headlines about Ammon Bundy and stuff like that are going to put this story front and center? Or do you think this will just kind of be, if mentioned at all, it'll be on like the back pages?
Well, I'd be glad to publish it, Kurt, if there was room.
Right. We got that classified ad. We just no space. You know what I mean, Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk more about this because this is an interesting... What do you call it, an allegation? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
And, Kurt, I believe with the dishonestness of the FBI in the Bundy case, lying and withholding exculpatory evidence and all these kind of things, and then the judge basically dismissing it, and I believe they did intentionally scuttle the case, Kurt. And the reason they did is because they knew that too much stuff was going to come out. We were going to learn the names of the agent provocateurs working for the FBI that were dishonestly surrounding Bundy and others. Okay, they knew full well that the truth would come out about government snipers, that government literally engineered a trap and murdered a man named Lavoie Finicum. I mean, all this stuff would come out if we're going to have a real, honest, fair, open, speedy trial, buddy. And so the attorney, Larry Klayman, is spot on this.
In this case, another attorney, Alyssa Bell, that's representing the co-defendant, Ryan Bundy, said that prosecutors' misdeeds forced defendants' attorneys to ask the judge to dismiss the case midway through proceedings. A retrial, the article says, would violate the Fifth Amendment ban against being tried twice for the same offense, she said.
I hate to tell this attorney something that ain't never stopped him before, sister.
Yeah, good point. Retrying the case would only advantage the government by allowing them to strengthen their witnesses' testimony based on the knowledge gained from information revealed thus far, she said. You know, but the bottom line is, Sam, as you said and pointed out, this, you know, there was a bunch of, well, problems with the government's case and the way they did that. And it's not something we've not seen before, right?
Sadly true. But again, it's interesting the Associated Press reports the truth for once on this, Kurt.
Right, but remember, ladies and gentlemen, what you'll really see, I mean, especially, let's say you're a fan of the Bundys and you...
Yes, I am,
you're
sir.
Familiar with, you know, maybe familiar with things, how Sheriff Mack went there and, you know, and we feel that things were done wrongly by the government. Well, and the big media coverage that it was given, I mean, it was front page on plenty of places. And my real question is now, when the truth comes out that the government did a bunch of wrong things in handling this case and stuff, do the same sources that gave it all the big coverage, do they give it any coverage? Hardly at all.
No. However, the Associated Press did put it on the wire, so if we ever claim that they're not covering it, they'll be like, yeah, we did. Look at this headline right here. Lawyer says prosecutors intentionally scuttled Bundy case. Associated Press, we covered it. What are you talking about? But yet, it didn't get the real coverage to where the people know. They know how to intentionally handle these stories to make sure they don't really take flight, Kurt, if you will. All
right,
moving overseas to the UK, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I got a plan for me, by the way, Kurt, that'll come out of this awesome story.
Mm-hmm.
UK wind farms.
Very good. The headline reads, UK wind farms paid millions per day not, and not is in big letters, to run turbines. Says last week, millions of pounds, now pounds is the money they use, in constraint payments were paid to wind energy farms to not run their turbines. Says a bunch of money over, it's got a weird little thing, and $12 million was handed out to wind farms in the United Kingdom last week following a major outage in a power line that transported energy from Scottish wind farms to England. The handouts will be tacked on to consumers' energy bills throughout the country. The firms were paid between 25 and 80% more than they would have earned were the turbines actually running, according to the Telegraph over there. The study conducted in December by the Renewable Energy Foundation, or REF for short, found that the UK handed out a record high, $136 million, to 86 wind farm owners last year in constraint payments, when the grid was incapable of handling the energy flow. Dr. John Constable, he's a constable, I guess, over there, the director of the REF, condemned the spate of wind farm development in Scotland, saying, quote, the Scottish government has permitted excessive and environmentally damaging growth in wind power north of the border, which has put the electricity system under great strain and burdened English and Welsh consumers not only with constraint payments, but also with the additional expense of a billion interconnector that it is itself proving unreliable. Now, Sam, I don't know if you want to translate this and break this down, but...
I'll break it down this way. First off, I always tell you that wind and solar are bogus. And they're not bogus because the technologies are bogus, Kurt. If you were to allow these free market, I don't know what you want to say, rules of engagement might be the best way to say it. If you allow the free market to function properly and get government out of the way, I believe these technologies could be phenomenal. Let me say that again. I believe these technologies could really be phenomenal. But Kurt, if you shut down the best players in the mix, and we know one of them, and you don't let the real market bring forth the best technologies, you bring forth technologies that are subpar and substandard, technologies that need subsidization to even make happen, okay, where you're handing out money to, okay? And this is a perfect example. So you got these wind turbines going up. Now the environmentalists are going crazy saying the wind turbines are bad. But they're the ones that shut down the coal in the first place, making these wind turbines necessary or turbines necessary in the first place, right? Okay, and it goes round and round the barn. Now they're paid, what, 50 to 80% more to not run their supposed new energy solutions? And then we're going to complain about that. What is the way to win here, Kurt? And the only answer that I could come up with is move it to the private sector, get the heck out of the way. But when UK wind farms are paid billions of dollars not to run their turbines, it reminds me of in America, Kurt. We're not one whit behind them. We have our farmers in America paid not to farm. There's all kinds of government land, or private land, I should say, that's put in government. Oh, what's the term for that land?
Well, they'll call it like held back or
yeah, but there's a word for it.
You know,
green belt land or whatever,
space or something like
all right.
that.
Right, and so then they're paid not to farm their land. These people are paid not to run their turbines, and I mean it just
not
doesn't
to raise
make
so
any
many
sense.
Hogs or...
Okay, but I got an idea, Kurt, how we could dovetail off this and get rich. What if we create a new bill before Congress that would say, "Why don't we pay, you know, conservative talk show hosts not to talk?" What do you think about that, Kurt?
Well, they're producing wind power, and you know that. I mean, you know, all that hot air.
Good point.
Might be causing a problem.
But really, what if I was,
thinking you were
going
to say Congress
50 to 80% more?
Talk.
Well, they're already not talking, Kurt, in the trial. They're not allowed to talk. They got to get rid of their cell phones and shut right up. And these senators are just melting down over that.
Yeah, and I guess like 8 of them have these little Apple watches that you could talk on. And so they're not sure if they're breaking the rules or not.
They better kick them right out and steal their property like they do with the TSA for the rest of us. But I find this interesting, though. What if we got paid 50 to 80% more not to talk, Kurt? I mean, we'd get a big old fat zero check. It'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because 50 to 80% more of zero is zero.
It's still zero. Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. I found the interesting way down in this story, Sam. Apparently, they say, though often touted by green activists, the true environmental costs of wind turbines remains high. We're not surprised about that. They say the high-powered magnets required to generate electricity out of wind require rare earth minerals such as neodymium, I guess is how you say it, which is mostly, they say, mined in China. A report of the Daily Mail back in 2011 found that the mining of this neodymium in China has resulted in the creation of a toxic lake outside the city of Batu. Children in the neighboring village of Dalaihai were born with soft bones, and cancer rates surged amongst the villagers. So it kind of, you know, ends up costing a little bit.
Yeah,
more,
and this is where I then say, hey, a lot of these things are bogus, that you got to take it out of the environment somewhere. So you're killing all kinds of birds environmentally. People are getting cancer from the stuff needed to make these things. Then everybody's running around going, Sam, why aren't you on the green bandwagon, buddy? Why don't you back these technologies? They're phenomenal. I say phenomenal to who? But see, I believe if you were to leave it to the open free market, Kurt, I believe a lot of the negative side effects of these could be dealt with properly.
Right, and I wouldn't surprise me, Sam, if they couldn't find this same little thing that they need way over there in Scotland or in England where it's
not if you have,
needed.
Not if you have, quote, free trade agreements against it that won't let you do it, Kurt.
That's exactly
Guess who
right.
owns the United States uranium?
Good point.
Who, Kurt? Russia.
The Russians.
Thanks to Hillary.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After a very contentious and very long 13-hour day one of the Senate impeachment trial against President Trump, a second day will begin this afternoon. President Trump himself is still in Davos, Switzerland, where he did tell reporters of the entire impeachment process.
But this is the greatest witch hunt. This started from the day I came down with the future First Lady. The day we came down the escalator, this started.
Today is the 47th anniversary of the Supreme Court's landmark Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion, and President Trump has proclaimed the day National Sanctity of Human Life Day, saying there is more to be done to reduce abortions. This year's March and Rally for Life in the nation's capital, not being held on this anniversary, but instead it will be held on Friday. And this is USA Radio News.
This report is sponsored by Milk. Love what's real. For many people, a new year means a new diet. Many popular diets eliminate entire food groups and can fall short on nutrients you need. Instead of jumping on that bandwagon, experts suggest consuming real, wholesome foods, like real milk. Real milk is naturally nutrient-rich, offering a unique nutrient package that is difficult to match in a single food or beverage. Manuel Villacorta, nutrition expert.
Health is not a diet plan, but a lifestyle. That's why I recommend a balanced diet, including protein, fruits, vegetables, and dairy. Real milk is a simple way to get 9 essential nutrients, including 8 grams of high-quality protein. It even plays a role in some of the top diet trends. For example, if you're counting calories, you can easily swap a skim or low-fat milk for full-fat options in your latte.
So, don't ditch dairy in the new year and learn more about milk's nutritional benefits at www.milklife.com. Again, that's milklife.com.
President Trump says the U.S. economy will soon start getting benefits from the recently signed Phase One trade deal with China. He spoke at the end of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland.
It's already started to a certain extent. China is going to be purchasing more than $250 billion worth of goods from our country. That's massive.
Several more nations could land on President Trump's travel ban. While the list isn't final, it's said to include Belarus, Myanmar, Nigeria, Sudan, and Tanzania, among others. The proposal would not necessarily ban travel for residents of those nations, but would put in place tougher immigration restrictions. Saudi Arabia is denying hacking Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos' phone during a call with the Crown Prince. The Guardian had reported that an encrypted message on WhatsApp from Mohammed bin Salman in 2018 was believed to have included a malicious file that infiltrated Bezos' phone. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, I'm mad, ladies and gentlemen. I want to just completely divert from everything that I told Kurt we're going to cover next. And the reason why I want to divert from that is because I, right at the start of the break, I said, hey, Kurt, we're going to cover the following stories next. We'll get to them in a minute, but I got to insert something. I just heard on the bottom of the hour news. Good job, USA Radio News. And sadly, it's the second story. So first they're telling you, you know, Donald's in Davos, Switzerland, and Donald's saying, hey, this has been a witch hunt. Ever since me and the future First Lady came down the elevator, they've been attacking us, nothing new. They're on the second day of the impeachment, quote, trial. People are freaking out. That's just the top story. So much so that there's no air in the room. You can't talk about anything else. But then they roll this second story. And in my opinion, this should be the top story in the nation today. This should be the top story in the nation today. I'm going to say it again. This should be the top story in the nation today. Let me say it again. This should be the top story in the nation today. I know you're going, what, Sam? What should be? I know. Listen, this should be the top story in the nation. You say, what? Answer. Donald Trump declares today, Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And then the story, if you dig into it, goes on and talks about how we need to stop abortion and reduce the pro-death agenda and focus on pro-life. It's the Sanctity of Life Day. This should be the top story, Kurt. And I just barely heard about it on the bottom of the hour news. like second story in a little blip. And I had to take that little blip that I heard and go, what? Then I had to go look it up and study it and figure it all out on the break. And I'm telling you, this should be the top story in the nation. It's not even the top story in the Christian news services, Kurt. I don't understand what's going on around here. Forget Donald and Davos. Forget free trade. Forget global warming and whatever environmental stuff. Or forget impeachment. Forget. Why aren't we talking about the top story today being national? Sanctity of Human Life Day, designated by the leader of the free world, Kurt. I don't get it.
That's a great point. And from the WhiteHouse.gov, under proclamations, basically you've got a proclamation on National Sanctity of Human Life Day 2020.
Tremendous, yesterday. Kurt.
Yeah, it says every person, the born and unborn, the poor, the downcast, the disabled, the infirm, and the elderly has inherent value. Although each journey is different, no life is without worth or is inconsequential. The rights of all people must be defended. On National Sanctity of Human Life Day, our nation proudly and strongly reaffirms our commitment to protect the precious gift of life at every stage, from conception to natural death.
Recently,
President Trump writes, recently we have seen decreases in the total number and rate of abortions in our country. From 2007 to 2016, the most recent period of analysis, the number and rate of abortions decreased by 24% and 26% respectively. The rate of teen pregnancies, the vast majority of which are unplanned, has almost continuously decreased over the last quarter century, contributing to the lowest rate of abortions among adolescents since the legalization of abortion in 1973. All Americans should celebrate this decline in the number and rate of abortions, which represents lives saved. Still, there's more to be done. And as president, I will continue to fight to protect the lives of the unborn. I signed into law legislation under the Congressional Review Act that allows states and other grantees to exclude organizations that perform abortions from their Title X projects. My administration has also issued regulations to ensure Title X family planning projects are clearly separated from those that perform, promote, or refer for abortion as a method of family planning, to protect the conscience rights of healthcare workers and organizations, including with respect to abortion, and to ensure the federal government does not force employers that object based on religious belief or moral conviction to provide insurance for contraceptives, including those that they believe cause early abortions. Additionally, I have called on the Congress to act to prohibit abortions of later-term babies who can feel pain. My administration is also building an international coalition to dispel the concept of abortion as a fundamental human right. So far, 24 nations representing more than a billion people have joined this important cause. We oppose any projects that attempt to assert a global right to taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up to the moment of delivery, and we will never tire of defending innocent life at home or abroad. As a nation, we must remain steadfastly dedicated to the profound truth that all life is a gift from God, who endows every person with immeasurable worth and potential. Countless Americans are tireless defenders of life and champions for the vulnerable among us. We are grateful for those who support women experiencing unexpected pregnancies, those who provide healing to women who have had abortions, and those who welcome children into their homes through foster care and adoption. On National Sanctity of Human Life Day, we celebrate the wonderful gift of life and renew our resolve to build a culture where life is always revered. And then it says, now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim January 22nd, 2020, today, ladies and gentlemen, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Today I call on the Congress to join me in protecting and defending the dignity of every human life, including those not yet born. I call on the American people to continue to care for women in unexpected pregnancies and to support adoption and foster care in a more meaningful way so every child can have a loving home. And finally, I ask every citizen of this great nation to listen to the sound of silence caused by a generation lost to us, and then to raise their voices for all affected by abortion, both seen and unseen. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 21st day of January, in the year of our Lord, 2020, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 244th. Donald J. Trump.
See, now, Kurt, I don't understand why this is not the top story in the nation. Well, I do understand why. I'm ashamed that it's not, I guess is the better way to say it. It's not because the pro-death camp owns the media, and they don't want you to know about it. And I got a little blip from a Christian news service, USA News, at the bottom of the hour. I'm telling you, it was less than 30 seconds. And then I had to dig and go and find it and then bring it up, and then Kurt went and dig, and we had to go to the White House to circumvent the media to get this story. But in my opinion, this is what we should be talking about with regards to President Donald J. Trump. He is advocating for pro-life. Abortions are down. Americans and people around the world are getting educated. How many nations did he say is involved in helping with this cause?
Looked like there's 24.
Okay, 24 nations involved. And, you know, there's a lot of efforts going on here. Now, by the way, Kurt, I don't know if you know, but the March for Life comes in 2 days, too, on Friday the 24th. I wish we had the money to be there.
Good point.
Okay, so you got that going on. You got President Trump speaking up. Why are we hearing about goofballs can't bring their phones into the Senate thing and they have to be quiet? And it's so hard for those people that love to hear the sound of their own voices. Why are we hearing about that garbage? And we're ignoring this incredible, in my opinion, unprecedented effort from President Trump declares today National Sanctity of Human Life Day. What a tremendous light on a hill leadership example, Kurt, that the administration has set on this one. Look, I'm very critical of Donald when he deserves it. I'm also very supportive of President Trump when he deserves it. And in this case, he deserves tremendous support. Kurt, what would it take to give the president wings for this initiative? Any idea?
Well, I could tell you this, Sam, that people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and, you know, and Mr. I forget his name.
Bill O'Reilly. Later. All those guys.
Yeah, so many of these others that will cover all the politics part of it, but they won't bring a story up like this. And why wouldn't they, you know, touch on this? I think so many times it's just because their handlers that are paying them millions of dollars tell them, leave that story, that kind of stuff alone.
Sadly, you're right, Kurt, but I look at it this way. How many nationally syndicated talk show hosts are going to stop on a dime when they see a little blip about this? Okay, I mean, I'm listening to the bottom of the hour news just to see what they're talking about. First story is all impeachment and Davos, and I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden I hear this little blip, and I'm like, what did they just say? Did I hear that right? And then I go dig, and then we literally change on a dime. Literally, it took me 1 minute to research it and 1 minute to decide to change and reorder the stories and everything. And then we spend this time on it. How many talk show hosts are going to do that and have the flexibility to do that to back the president?
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, Kurt, we ought to ride like the wind on this story, buddy. I'm telling you, it should be the top story in the nation. When the Republicans took over and got control of the House, the White House, the Senate, most state legislative bodies, et cetera, they had control of literally everything, including the courts. I said they need to make pro-life their top initiative, and I got ignored back then. But now President Donald Trump is doing a phenomenal thing, Kurt, and I got a couple of more points to make about this, and I'm sorry it's just going to obliterate the rest of the broadcast. But on a dime, we had to make this change. This is so critical. I didn't even know about this story, Kurt. It's amazing that I can just troll the news for hours and not even find this thing. I mean, it's just shocking. But Donald Trump, good on the president, I commend him and I'm grateful, declares today, Wednesday, January the 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2020, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Good job, President Trump. Working with people nationally and internationally to reject abortion. But there's two points I want to make on this, Kurt. The first point is this. What's it going to take for this story to get wings? And the answer is it's going to take the new media taking center stage to force the mainstream press into talking about it and to changing their narrative. And that's only going to happen if the people back enough of us good people in the media to do this. How many talk shows will literally find this story out in the middle of a break and then quickly just re-engineer the whole rest of the broadcast over it? It's that critical of a subject, Kurt. It's that necessary. When 60 million people, Donald Trump said, listen to the sound of silence with a whole generation lost. He's spot on the point. He's not overstating it one iota. And Kurt, I would double down, triple down, quadruple down and say this. We the people need to get behind this. What if 50 million people, that's what, a little less than a sixth of the nation? What if 50 million Americans got on Sean Hannity's show and called the producers and called NBC and CBS and ABC and Fox and CNN and NPR and whoever else I can think of, okay? And they just simply said, we want to hear about the president's tremendous initiative. We want to talk about Trump, Donald J. Trump, declaring today, Wednesday, the 22nd of January, 2020, 2 days ahead of the pro-life march, National Sanctity of Human Life Day. That's what we want to hear about. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to get into. And then what if President Trump said, I'm flying back from Davos early because I'm going to basically shut down Planned Parenthood's funding of murder. It's a national emergency. If there was ever a crisis in America, this is it. And forget your impeachment stuff, Congress. I insist before all 330 million Americans that you reject the murderous intent that goes on a daily basis. This is a national crisis, and I'm going to defund Planned Parenthood immediately as the executor. Anybody who sends funds to Planned Parenthood will be an accomplice to the crime of murder. And now I demand the courts and the Congress get rid of Roe versus Wade. We cannot be a murderous nation anymore. Okay, Donald could take this opportunity and literally say, if you're going to impeach me, let's make this story, this initiative, this issue, the front and center focal point of all that we do. Because, Kurt, you can't lose when you stand for the sanctity of life. And as a nation, you can't get stronger and get the blessings of the Almighty more than protecting his children, the most innocent among us. This is an opportunity of a lifetime for President Trump. I commend him for what he's done, but I would push and say we need a thousandfold that. We could literally take over the whole news cycle with this today, the Sanctity of Life Day, and then dovetail that into a weekend of discussion of the pro-life march, the rejection of Planned Parenthood, the focus on it. But while Donald Trump is protecting life and promoting life, declaring the National Sanctity of Life Day, Hillary Clinton is slamming Bernie Sanders, saying nobody likes him and his supporters are misogynists. That's what Hillary's doing while Donald Trump celebrates life with us, Kurt. And Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, is demonizing business owners. She says they're lazy. Slave owners. Employees are literally dying, she says. Kurt, isn't it interesting the contrast to who's focused on what? But I think we, the people, need to get behind the president on this one. And I'm telling you right now, just imagine if the groundswell was there, Kurt. The mainstream press could not stem the tide of pro-life. I submit that we're missing a tremendous opportunity here. We're all busy going, Donald's in Davos. He's telling you the economy is great. And Greta's telling you that on the altar of the economy, we're all going to die. And Donald's criticizing Greta and others for being so chicken little. The sky is falling. And back home, the senators can't bring their phones into the tundra to hear about impeachment because they might leak the word of what's going on. And why don't we just step back and say, this pro-life issue, there is no more important issue, Kurt. Am I crazy?
Great point, Sam. It's, and frankly, you could always say, look, wouldn't be a single one of us here if somebody hadn't protected your life, and so there wouldn't be any need for any of these news stories without anybody here, you know? So.
Good point. That's a valuable point. But I mean, look, while Donald is declaring it the sanctity of life, the media is basically, is there a blackout on this, Kurt? Do you see anybody talking about this? Who's telling you this is National Sanctity of Life Day declared by the Commander-in-Chief of the free world? Is there anybody telling you that?
I sure don't see much on it. I mean, I couldn't see anything at Drudge Report. I couldn't see anything at Breitbart. And I'm kind of sad to say that. I'd be surprised if the WorldNet Daily Boys don't have something on it. But, you know, it's just not front and center like, you know, it ought to be, at least in my opinion, Sam.
And I'm just saying, where are all the Republicans that are like, yeah, we're going to get rid of Planned Parenthood, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and where are all those guys, Kurt?
Strangely silent, Sam. Seems like, right?
TheWhiteHouse.gov is the first website that comes up when you put in National Sanctity of Life Day, Kurt. Then there's a Wikipedia page. I don't see anybody really talking about this. Except for the White House. Life Matters has it. Good for them. But, you know, that's what they do, so. Washington Times has something on it, Kurt.
They're a pretty good source.
Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Mm-hmm. Life Matters is what they say.
Good.
But I look.
You probably got it from them.
I don't really see anybody else having it. Oh, now they're talking about the pro-life rally or the March for Life rally coming up, which is good. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't, Lutherans for Life are talking about it a little bit. I commend them. Liberty Council's talking about it, Kurt. Good for them. Catholic World Report is talking about it. Good for them. But Kurt, I'm telling you, there's a flat-out media blackout. Even the conservative media is not talking about it. Isn't that shocking, Kurt? That the president of the free world, the United States, could literally declare National Sanctity of Human Life Day. I mean, if it was Hot Dog Day, Kurt would be talking all about it. Mm-hmm. If it was like celebrate Female Body Parts Day, it'd be everywhere. If it was, I mean, I could go on and on and on. But Kurt, National Sanctity of Life Day? I'm glad USA reported it and I heard about it, but otherwise I wouldn't even have known, Kurt. Did you hear about this anywhere until I brought it up?
No.
And did you hear the bottom of the hour news feed about it?
I didn't even notice it.
And you're going to say you didn't notice it because you're human, Kurt. It was like the second or third story in. It was just a little blip. And 99 times out of 100, I wouldn't have even caught it, Kurt. But it just so happened that I was paying attention that very second. And I went, did they just say what I think they said? Did President Trump really declare this day? And then I went and searched. I'm like, hey, man. And the White House comes up, and this is why you got to go to the White House and some Christian news services, though. And people criticize me for having the mainstream news on. But this is an example where, you know what, they're doing better than most. I just look at this and I'm shocked. I'll bet you 999 out of 1,000 people won't even know about this story, or more. They're just not getting it anywhere, Kurt. They won't even know the president did this. And to me, that's election fraud. Why? Because if the president is doing some tremendous things like this, a lot of people will say Donald is being true to Christian principles. Donald is being true to the pro-life views that he promised. Donald Trump is doing his best to put constitutionalists on the courts who will interpret the Constitution in its original intent, kind of a thing. Okay, these are the things that make the difference for you to vote for President Trump. But if they spike it and you don't hear a word about it, you're just like, Donald's being impeached and he's in Davos talking about the economy while Greta Thunberg's trying to save us all. Wow. And I look at this and I say, is there a more important issue, Kurt, in the world right now than a pro-life effort? I don't see one. You can't point to me a more important issue right now. I mean, you could talk about taxes or getting rid of government schools or a lot of things that I would do. But you can't, in my mind, I don't know that there's a more important issue. Even the Federal Reserve isn't as important of an issue, is it, Kurt?
Well, I don't think so, Sam. I mean, life is, well, it's in the top 10. The God of heaven says, thou shalt not, kill. And that's pretty high up on the list, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is just shocking. I mean, it is just amazing. Anyway, there you have it. I probably, ruined the whole broadcast over this, or whatever you want to say. But I can't find a more important issue. And I can't find another issue where I could say I'm more proud of the president. And I can't find another issue that I think is more worthy of our coverage and focus. And therefore, we literally just changed the broadcast on a dime to make sure you knew. But again, the only way President Trump can get the wings he needs to make this a household discussion and to change the dynamics on the debate in America today would be if the people get behind the president, Kurt. This is where you and I do play a significant role. Are you going to spread the word about this day and thank President Trump? Are you going to go ahead and highlight how important this is? Are you going to, got a lot of work to do, people. But I say this, the president sure is not getting credit when credit is due. I'll tell you that right now on this specific issue. I commend President Trump. I thank the First Lady. I'm sure she's involved in it, too. And I commend her for that. And I would say we the people better take this seriously, folks, if we want the blessings of the Almighty to prosper our efforts to restore the republic, to make or keep America great again. If we want the blessings of the Almighty and if we want liberty preserved, it starts with life. Thanks for being alongside for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully this broadcast was educational and entertaining. We celebrated as much good news and as many good things as we possibly could. Thanks for listening. Spread the word. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. God save the Republic of the United States of America.